Another one is a new one.
I'm still going to keep the thing in there just to learn it.
After all that talking about
no,
it.
No, we know 416.
Might as well try and play it.
Yeah, but
okay. We'll see.
We'll wing it.
All right. Can't I can't even read it.
It was an admirable try.
It's really 460.
It's all right.
We know 460.
So we know
460. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's okay. We tried, we burned, and we crashed. We crashed, we burned, we came, we went.
The other one we don't know.
That we can lean on you, your everlasting arms, and help us through the things we go through. And we just thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercy on all of us here. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Church going to tip over.
Hold it down, Kim.
I'm sorry, Kim,
I had to get off.
You hang on to that, Jim.
You might want to watch out for those fan blades. Bow your heads real quick, please. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that we have together. Let us learn as much from this lesson as we can, Lord. Be able to understand it, apply it to our lives, to be able to share it with others. Lord, we thank you for your amazing grace. We don't deserve it, but thank you so much, because without that, there would be no point of being here, Father. So thank you for the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. In his holy name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
You try behind your ear.
Chow down next week.
I'm doing chili. I didn't raise.
You know what I'm doing. Okay. I'm doing the rag.
I did mine in 2 weeks. Cause we're not. We don't do the collection on the.
So I was gonna bring Hormel for the chili dogs.
You can do that too. You can bring your own Hormel for the chili dogs, and then after that, it's cool.
I mean, I don't know about you guys, but... Huh?
Yeah. I got chicken. I put chicken in mine.
Your chicken? Yeah, it'd probably not give you a good on a hot dog. All right, so I'll bring some Hormel for the chili dogs.
Pork chili.
So we're bringing burgers, dogs, buns, condiments, all the condiments. Kim's got plates, napkins, silverware.
We don't have it here?
What do you mean?
Silverware, napkins, please.
Yeah, usually, it's kind of
we need
Diane's bringing baked beans. I know that Linda usually brings baked beans, but Diane has a baked bean recipe she wants to bring, so she's going to do that. And cookies, peanut butter cookies, I guess. Linda's bringing a peanut butter sheet cake. Bob and Mary are bringing water and a side dish. Dan and Dolly bringing chicken. Dan, chicken Alfredo.
You already know.
Chicken chili.
Maybe I should do like sausage chili or something.
It's like said, pork chili.
I'm bringing macaroni salad. I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'm gonna bring something like that.
My brother loves that stuff. Just so you know.
Yeah, he does.
I'll have a bunch of cherry tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes.
Cherry. Oh, yeah, you were talking about that.
I remember last year; those were so sweet.
And we'll probably have a. I think we're gonna probably bring a cucumber, onion, tomato.
Cucumber salad.
Yeah, with the Italian dressing.
I think my mom is coming with cherry squares.
Okay.
What?
Cherry squares. She makes us home. It's like a cake with a cherry pie filling in it.
But I have three.
Yeah. So. I'm going to try, the tire on the mower keeps going flat. I'm going to try and fix it after church. Dana's been push mowing and stuff, so.
What happened to the tractor?
I keep replacing, I filled up both of those tires with air. The front tires on the mower, they keep going flat, so I took them up to Conrad's. They filled them up.
Did they patch it?
No, they put a new valve stem in one. They patched
Is it the rim that's causing?
I don't know. It might be a slow pinhole leak in the tire. It might need an inner tube. I don't know. So, I guess if it happens again, we'll just have to get a new tire or something. So, but
maybe I'll get something at Home Depot.
Home Depot?
Yeah. No, not Home Depot. Harbor Freight.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
There's one at Pace.
What?
Was there any Harbor Freight,
on the way to the, where we go to the church picnic? What's that place over there? You got around the corner. Tractor Supply?
Yeah, that's you know what I see him for the first time? I never seen in my life. I seen an Acme. When I picked the kids up, I've never seen Acme before. I've seen an Acme store for the first time. I always seen it on cartoons.
Right.
So I've seen it.
You've never seen the Acme Dynamite?
Yeah, right, yeah. You're just picturing Wile E. Coyote right there, just getting
somebody had a dent in their car, and then you see they put the sticker of Wile E. Coyote right there where the dent was.
They're making a live-action movie of Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner.
Oh, man. I'm at the opening for that one. Full price Friday night.
Yes.
Okay. Prayer requests. I got Dan and Carol and their kids, Arthur and Jim. Kim. Kim's brother, Mark. Okay.
Can you just put a blanket for people that have cancer? I seem to know a lot.
Speaking of which, apparently there's a bill in the House right now they're trying to pass, or they're going to go up for a vote, I suppose, that is supposed to give immunity to all these companies that are spraying foods with these pesticides.
That's bullcrap, man.
The only way to stop it is to call your senator or congressperson and tell them you don't support it. And it's the only way that they'll...
If they do support it, it's going to be both on that. Both sides are on the same team.
Yeah, it's like agriculture, right? You think the EPA was supposed to be for the protection of us, but it's protecting big agriculture.
Protecting their wallets.
They're evil.
It's an awful thing if it happens, because, and that's why, like there's all these lawsuits over Roundup, and they would get immunity. They won't cause cancer on their Roundup product. They would just rather bankrupt the company. I don't. There must be more to it than.
It's deeper than that.
Yeah, there's something going on. So.
Satan.
These companies are linked to each other and greasing each other's pockets and getting money.
Well, all of this has to, like, when they spray the crops, it's causing problems with the pollinators, mm-hmm. like the bees and everything. It's affecting so much of food and our food depend. What it's, it's causing decreased testosterone in men and fertility in women and on and on and on. All kinds of. Yeah, so.
I mean, they finally got when, you know, those people that smoke, they finally went against the cigarette people.
Exactly.
You know, yeah. And other things like that. So, at some point, they have to do something.
They have to.
Yeah.
Now we're really tipping over. Yes.
It's pretty late. The game bridge is still up.
Oh, yeah.
I really hang on.
Oh,
gosh,
yeah.
Gonna be never.
Sooner or later, they got
it. I had to go all the way around again.
All right, so I got all the cancer patients on there. Yep.
I want to put, regular Perlis on there. Also put Rachel Fenstermaker on there. She's going to be going back to school for, well, teaching and stuff, so smooth transition going in there. Also put Jason on there that, you know, he needs a lot of prayers. I mean, a lot of prayers. You know, that, and I know nothing's too big for the Lord, but just where the Lord just, I don't know, I guess puts him in his place of where he should be, what he should be focusing on, you know, to help himself, but also be good for others around him. You know,
yeah, be of use.
Yeah, this right. Put me on there. I'm having shoulder issues. Well, it's my shoulder blade too now. And I'm going to be going to the doctor sometime. Either Thursday or Friday, I'm going to get checked out to see if it's rotator cuff or if it's arthritis or tendonitis. And I wasn't even done.
Oh, sorry.
You're over done. No, sorry. And just put the clear and simple gospel message on there.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah.
All the kids on here. All the kids are going back to school soon. You know, soon. So I'm on vacation this week. Let me enjoy this. With the kids, is my next week off will be the week before Christmas, so it'll be a little bit of time coming still. I'm pretty sure I'm starting a new position at work when I go back, and right now it's a mess, so I just gotta, I know you're not supposed to pray for patients, but I'm gonna be real patient over there, and I'm trying to figure out how to do that. So.
Please give me patience and please hurry.
Yeah.
Pray for patience.
Please hurry with the patience.
How did Job do it? You know, that was my question.
Yeah, right. So many countless examples of good stuff. Yeah.
My niece Katie and her family, and Pastor Joe and his family.
Thank you. Anything else?
He found that antibiotic or antiprobiotic.
Yeah, right.
You gotta share that.
Dolly?
Yeah, put Dominic DeGennaro on there with his brain bleeds.
Yeah.
I guess Dustin went to take him to the hospital in my car because that's the only one he could get up in. And he asked Dustin, he says, can you tell me that verse of John 3:16 again?
Yeah.
So, and put Kathy and Linda on there, and baby Selena, my friend, she had a baby and she was early and she's still in the hospital. And put Ileana on there, the one that her appendix busted. They found it as some kind of ulcer. So, and she's like, going to be 5. So they put her back in the hospital for 5 more days.
Okay. All right. Anything else? Okay. Oh, Mary.
Time with our grandkids. We're going to be with them babysitting. Yep.
What do you? Are we praise or patience or what? Yeah.
Instead, it goes well.
Yeah.
That you survive. Babies are no joke.
Well, we've done it a few times.
These are with your grandkids?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, let's bow our heads and lift our requests up to the Lord. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we ask that you be with our following requests. You be with Pastor Dan and Carol and their children Arthur and Jim and what they're going through. Be with Kim's brother Mark and his drug abuse and alcohol abuse. Be with all the cancer patients. Be with Danny's prayer list and Rachel Fenstermaker and going back to school. And her brother Jay, our brother Jay, be with him and what he's going through. Be with Danny's shoulder issues. Just help him get him fixed. And I praise for the time with the grandkids for Bob and Mary and give them patience. And be with all that's coming up this week. Be with Bob's niece Katie and her family. And Dominic DeGennaro and the brain bleeds. Just heal that up. And Eliana and her appendix and her ulcer. Get that situation. And baby Selena. And Kathy and Linda, and be with Daryl's patients at work, and all of our children at school, going back to school, just protect them. Be with our military, the nation of Israel, our government leaders. Be with the clear and simple gospel message, all of our unspoken requests, and a praise for the week off of work for Danny, Daryl. And thank you for the request for Kim and I. And thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right. Today we're going to talk about justification, grace, and propitiation. I don't know what the cross accomplished. When Jesus died on the cross, our sins were forgiven. But that was only the beginning. That day was day number one. I know that we're taught in some other churches that's like the end of your life, the last day. But not in this church. It's day number one. That's what happens when you first become a believer. So, you know, I need encouraging from time to time, and I think we all need encouraging from time to time, because we're living in a sinful world amongst sinful people. And sometimes just to be reminded of how much God went through for us is a good place to start. If you've ever woke up one day and felt lost or unsure how to move forward in your day or in your life, it's good to be around others who can encourage you and strengthen you through God's Word and, of course, pray for you. But what I always go back to is the cross. If you stop and think about this for a second, after all he went through in his plan and accomplishment of the cross, would he just pat you on the butt and say, good luck? You know, I hope you make it. Well, my goal is to remind you all that you are already victorious. So we're going to begin this morning in Romans 3:24 and look at some of the other accomplishments of the cross. Justification is a technological, theological term. It's a legal concept. Because the word justification is related to a court venue. People talk about the justice system, a system that is supposed to enact fairness. Justification is connected with justice. Okay, to put it in every other language, everyday language, it's just as if I never sinned. It's just as if I never sinned. The problem is, I have sinned. You have sinned over and over and over again. So God has to satisfy his perfection in a way that sinful people could be made so righteous it would be just as if they had never sinned. Since that is not our reality because we have sinned, God had to come up with a way to make that real or condemn us. So what God did is come up with a legal means to equip the sinner without skipping the sin, to declare the sinner innocent, even though the sinner is guilty. And that's called the doctrine of imputation. The way that a holy God came up with being able to acquit a sinner, even though a sinner has sinned, and do it legally, was through the doctrine of imputation or credit. To impute something is to give credit to something. Justification occurs not because the sinner hasn't sinned, but the sinner has gotten a credit on their account that has addressed the debt that sin has incurred. Talk about blessings, little ones. You know, like my radiator. Let me go back to this. Sin had created a debt that we can't pay. All we can do is make minimal payments, like our credit cards. We try to add a little something good here and a little something good there, not knowing that interest is accumulating. Because like paying off one bill, then something else breaks down and something else has to be fixed. I just paid up my credit card and then my radiator on my truck blew last week. Bingo. There's another $850 back on the credit card. But it could have gone horrible. I could have broke down on 271, you know, right in the middle of rush hour, you know. But it didn't. There were little drips on the customer's driveway. And on my driveway, I'd never would have known because it's rocks. So a perfect driveway revealed my imperfect radiator. So it was a blessing. And then the guys at Conrad's gave me their employee discount. There's another blessing. They're also the ones who I told you repaired the church tires. No charge. So,
that's awesome.
And every time I turn around, if you're looking, you're seeing blessings. You're seeing the blessings of God. So part of what I wanted to say with this slide is that there are blessings out there, and sometimes you just stop and you feel the love. You see it. He's there all the time. And sometimes we just hurrying up through our day in our life and not paying attention to how much he really loves us. So anyway, so you're justified. But how are you justified? Romans 3:24 says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. It's a simple verse. We read it many times. You skip right over it. But what is grace? One man came up with an acronym for it and said it means God's riches at Christ's expense. Which is kind of good. I like that. But plainly stated, it is the inexhaustible supply of God's goodness whereby he does for us what we cannot do for ourselves. The inexhaustible supply of God's goodness whereby he does for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Why does God want to do things by grace? He tells you in verse 27. He says, where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but the law of faith. So, there's no boasting. One of the reasons why he wants to do things by grace is that there is no peacocks in heaven.
Yep.
Why is excluded?
Peacocks.
Yeah. Peacocks. You know,
meaning,
yeah.
Look what I did. Nobody can say that. It's what Christ did.
Yeah, this isn't literal. It's figurative. Yes, sir.
No.
No, there's pets.
It's a play on words.
It's figurative.
They're going to be there.
There's nobody in heaven that's going to boast that I got that. I'm going to explain that in a second. But so why is it excluded? Why is boasting excluded? Because you didn't do any of the work. He wanted to do all the work. He wanted to be the one that did all the work. He wanted to do it for you. And therefore, he gets all the credit. God gets the glory and gets the credit because God made the supply. It was God provided, therefore God gets the glory. If you got to heaven because of what you did, you get the credit. You can brag, God, you know why I'm up here? I went to church. You know why I'm up here? I was good. You know why I'm up here? I donated to the poor. And on and on and on. God says no. He says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not according to works, so that no man should boast. It's not only is that true of a sinner becoming a saint, it's true of a saint becoming sanctified. Now, do you know there is a lot of stuff God would love to give, but we keep trying to get the credit through our human efforts to earn it, which cancels him giving it because he's not going to share it. You say, well, where do my works come in? Aren't there things God expects me to do? Absolutely. But he expects you to do it because you're responding to grace. He expects you to do it because I'm just so grateful for his goodness. I can't help but love him. I can't help but serve him. I can't help but worship him. I can't help but give to him. See, when people don't know grace, you've got to force them with law. See, when people don't know grace, you've got to make them do stuff. And you got to threaten them, and you got to make them feel guilty and pressure them. And you say, well, you know, God's displeased with you, and you should be doing more, and he's going to get you. And so it becomes law, law, law. And so they do it in other churches, but they do it under pressure. When people understand grace, they do it, but they do it and enjoy it. That's because they're responding to something, not being driven to something. Law drives you. You better right now. And if you don't, then what a shame that would be to those in the church. And so they live under a fear of the law. In the Old Testament, they lived under the fear of the law because the law was always threatening to them. When you understand grace, you do the right thing, but not because you're driven, but because you're grateful, because you're responding to him. He says we are justified by his grace. He then comes to the next big word in verse 24, redemption. Being justified freely by his grace through redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The word redemption in the Bible is generally against the black backdrop of slavery. In biblical days, just like in the United States when they had indentured servantry, a slave could purchase their freedom, or somebody else could purchase or redeem them. To redeem means to redeem through the payment of a price. That's what redeem means. To purchase through the payment of a price. You'll recall the story of Boaz being the kinsman redeemer in the book of Ruth.
Yep.
And it's a fantastic book. And if you'd slow down and take time and read the notes through it and everything. And man, romance and non-romance fans alike enjoy the story of Ruth. After Ruth loses her husband, she continues to stay and care for her mother-in-law, Naomi. She meets a man named Boaz who treats her well and ends up giving her a happily ever after. Although we may enjoy the story, we miss certain nuance in the story. God placed this story in the Bible for good reason, and that being that Boaz was her kinsman redeemer. The story really is remarkable, not to mention the fact that Ruth, being a Moabitess, and she was now moving back to Judah with her mother-in-law, and that was a big deal in her culture because she wanted to follow after the God of Israel. I put a little map up there just to show you. There's Israel, there's Judah, that's where she was from. And then she goes, Naomi left Judah because there was a famine in the land at the time, and she went over to Moab. So she left her and her husband, went to Moab, and that's where her sons met wives and then got, you know, married. And then all hell breaks loose. So while in Judah, God worked out an amazing plan. See, Naomi lost her husband and her two sons. Imagine what that would feel like. Okay, now I don't think anyone in this room has ever had something so devastating like that happen to them. But imagine for a minute it did. You left because you were hungry. There was famine in the land at the time. And that's why she left with her two sons. And now you lose your husband and both of your sons. Not only are you suffering from the loss of your closest relatives, now you no longer have a husband to provide for you and your sons to help out. Talk about a dire situation. I mean, the whole implication and everything, where to live, how to get food, how to take care of yourselves. I mean, you can imagine she must have been thinking about suicide. Or, I don't think so. I think she had an incredibly strong faith. And that's what I believe, something that Ruth saw in her and wanted to go with her. Whatever this Naomi has is pretty powerful, or her husband had. So she heads back, right? She leaves Moab and she starts heading back to Judah, thinking that maybe Moab was a mistake. Ruth decides to go back with her. I mean, Ruth must have been thinking, this poor woman, I mean, I'm sad because I've lost my husband, but she lost everything. So I'm going to go with her and help her. While in Judah, God worked out an amazing plan for a man named Boaz to take Ruth as his wife, give her a child. So all these things had to come into play, right? Ruth has to decide to go back. And then provide for her and Naomi. What's remarkable about this plan was that Boaz was qualified as a kinsman redeemer to take her as his wife. What in the world is a kinsman redeemer, you may ask? Well, they had a custom in those days based on Deuteronomy 25, verses 5 and 6, that directed a relative of a man who dies that he should marry the man's widow in order to perpetuate his lineage through this woman. According to God's remarkable sovereignty, turns out that Boaz was a relative to Ruth's husband who had passed away. So he was qualified to marry her and perpetuate his lineage. So even in the midst of Ruth and Naomi's awful affliction, God still had a plan to take care of them. Pretty cool, right? I don't have a lot of time to get into all the application for our lives today, as there are a few in this story, but as I'm getting off topic now, and I can just keep going way down another path, but I just love this story, and it is all about God and His love and His provision, and just that, you know, again, He will never leave you nor forsake you, even in the midst of all this. Now, did He cause those men to die? No. But did He take care of Ruth and Naomi afterwards? Absolutely. So back to the word redemption. It's slavery we're talking about. So an indentured servantry or a slave could purchase their own freedom or buy their freedom, or somebody else could purchase or redeem them. So, and then again, to redeem means to purchase through the payment of a price. That's what redeem means, to purchase through the payment of a price. The price, of course, for the purchase of our salvation was the blood of Jesus Christ. What was the blood designed to do? It was to remove us from the slave market of sin. You and I were born sinners, and while it may come out at different levels with different individuals, the ability to do it is already built in because you were born that way. And the Bible says we're slaves, so that even the good things you do have sinful attachments to it, whether it's a bad motive or whether it's wrong mixed with the right, or even the Bible says all our righteousness are as filthy rags and our righteous deeds get contaminated with unrighteous thoughts or motives or any such thing. The issue has to do with a release tied to a payment. The Bible declares that the blood of Jesus Christ redeemed us from sin and from the judgment of sin by the law. It's like a person who was kidnapped and they call for a ransom. We'll give you back your son or daughter if you pay me $1 million. What they are saying is, I will release them through the payment of a price. Well, you and I, when we were apart from Jesus Christ, were being held by a threefold jailer. The threefold jailer is the world, worldliness, the flesh, that's the lust of the flesh, what we want, what we want to do, and the devil, Satan. All three are designed to keep us away from God. Jesus posted bail, and what he did was he secured our release through the redemption that was in Jesus Christ, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now this is fun. You're going to like this. The Greek word for redemption, in your concordance, it's entry 629, that's used here. The word redemption is apolutrosis. It's a compound word made up of two words. Apo, which is away, denotes separation, departure, cessation, completion, reversal, and litrosis, which is a ransoming, release, redeemed, redemption through the payment of a price. But the word here, we got the litrosis part, right? And that's all we think about. But the word here is apolutrosis, so it has a prefix on it to strengthen the word. So you don't get to find that out unless you decide to pick up a concordance one day and look up that word redemption in your concordance. So it's apolutrosis. Now, to appreciate apo on lutrosis, which is redemption on steroids. Redemption, that would be Lutrosis. Oppo would be the steroids. He put a steroid onto Lutrosis so you would fully understand what it means. To understand what that means, we got to go all the way back to the Old Testament. And this is more fun. In the Old Testament, on the Day of Atonement, they would slay a goat. They would slay a goat and drain it of its blood, signifying the release for the sins of the nation of Israel. That would be Lutrosis. Okay, so they would slay the animal, and then the priest would put his hands on the other goat, the scapegoat, and that goat would be shooed out of town. The shooing out of the town of the second goat meant that the sins of the people were being removed from Israel. So there would be the sacrifice of the first goat and the shoeing of the second goat after the priest had put his hands on it, signifying sins were paid for and sins had been removed. It was a two-step process. Since the first goat is not going to rise from the dead, so the first goat is dead and the second goat shoes the sins away. That was Lutrosis. That was the releasing of the people from the consequences of their sins through the shedding of the blood, right? So, I mean, there's shedding of the blood again, picture of the future sacrifice of Christ, and then the removal of the goat. The problem was the second goat would sometimes wander back into the camp. Now, they didn't want that, because that meant that the sins of the people were coming back. And when the sins of the people were coming back, judgment was going to come back. And so they didn't want the second goat, the scapegoat, to come back. So what they would do is they would find somebody, a shepherd boy or somebody, to walk the second goat out of the camp to a cliff and push it over. That's apolutrosis. Lutrosis is, I have been redeemed. Apo is, this is never coming back again. So I got good news for you. It's never coming back again. That's why you can't lose your salvation. That's why God is never going to leave you nor forsake you. Because when Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead, it was salvation on steroids. He not only saved you, He has saved you forever. Nobody can lay a charge to God's elect, the Bible says. It will never come up again. That's apolutrosis. What a reason to praise Him, because He's done it once and for all. So that's one accomplishment of the cross. But wait, there's more. Take a look at verse 25. Notice the word propitiation in that verse. Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. Propitiation is another one of those technological, theological words to help us to understand the cross. To understand propitiation, you must understand God's justice that must be satisfied. God can't help it. It's just part of His DNA. He is pure and holy. He's sterilized like an operating room. Everything is perfectly holy with God. Romans 1:18 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed against heaven, from heaven, against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." It must be satisfied. He just can't skip sin, you know, like it never happened. So it must be satisfied. Sin has to be judged. Now, the synonym for the word propitiation means satisfaction. That's what it means. It means to be satisfied. So wherever you see propitiation in the Bible, you could put satisfied. The justice of God, the wrath of God, must be satisfied. You just can't skip your sin. You know, by which, you know, the wrath of God's got to be satisfied by that which God will accept, which brings us back to redemption, which brings us back to grace, which brings us back to justification. Remember the Passover, where the death angel was going to come over Egypt and take the life of every firstborn? What God told His people is, you slaughter the animal and put its blood over your doorposts of your home, and when He says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. In other words, I'll skip you in my judgment. Everyone that did that night, put the blood over their doorpost, their firstborn lived. He said, I will pass over you. My judgment will pass you by. So on the night of the Passover, the Bible says there was weeping and wailing throughout Egypt because the firstborn died because there was no blood on their doorpost, meaning God's wrath had not been averted. But when Israel put the blood on their doorpost, God passed over them. Why? Because God's wrath had been satisfied. One illustration of this is Moses and his wife Zipporah. God told Moses to circumcise his son in Exodus 4, making him a part of the covenantal relationship to God. But then the Bible says the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And